Hello. Okay. Very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Is it too soft? Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear at the back? Can you hear? Christy, can you hear? Ah, okay, good. Anna, Anna, it's okay. Ah, yeah, Rabir. Okay, now it's 8:30 tonight, morning chanting reflection. The morning chanting, I think we can, at the moment, skip it. Yeah, we have already done it in the morning, the short one. Then after that, you're supposed to have meditation. Okay. Okay. What we will do is we will continue from our Heart Sutta. Okay, we are on page 56.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, correction. 57, page 57, 1.3.
Good morning. Okay, 1.3. Important inquiries for developing the meditative wisdom. 1. Are the feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness that arise in you really what you are? Question 2. If feeling, perception, etc. are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? So who are you and what are you?
Question 2. So this point you have to take note. So when you meditate, you will be experiencing the aggregates of mind, isn't it? Yeah? So you will experience feeling, perception, sankhara activity, which is your thinking, your mental state, your whatever mental activity, means your planning, your scheming, or your whatever mental movement, anything that you want to do, including your fear, your worry, your anxiety, the mental states. Then lastly is consciousness. When you experience them, then you have to find out what happened to them. They arise and they pass away. They arise and they pass away. If you are mindful, if you are aware when you are living your daily life in daily mindfulness or in your meditation, then you will come to this inquiry automatically. That's why I inquire. Then I ask you all the same thing. Are the feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness that arise in you, I put inverted comma, because that one is not the real you, that one is your form and mind, okay? Really what you are. If you are that, then the next question is, if feeling and perception, sankhara and vijnana are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you did not die? Then who are you? What are you? If they pass away and you didn't die, definitely they are not you, is it? True or not? Huh? Very easy to understand, isn't it? If feeling is me, pleasant feeling, change, I should die with it, isn't it? But your feeling is not me. That's why feeling come and go. Feeling keep on changing. Emotion keep on changing. But I didn't die. So the aggregates of mine are not me. If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? That is the question. Then who are you? What are you? When I inquire, I found the answer. That's why when you meditate, you are not able to be mindful to see all this, then there is no inquiry. Then you keep on following the thought. You live in the world of thought. Thought continue to condition you, control you. And you are caught in thought. The whole movement is controlled by thought. But you are the owner. You are the user of thought. But you don't know who you are. Because you don't know you have a true nature, a true mind that can arise the wisdom and the understanding to use thought. That's why without wisdom, the user of thought is deluded. Then thought becomes egoic. Thought becomes limited. Thought will do all the funny things and get you involved. Not until you develop the meditative understanding, realize your true mind, your awareness, then the wisdom that comes with it, connected to this form and mind, and then the user of thought has the wisdom. The user of thought is wise. Then only your thought can be right thought. Then you decide, not the thought decide. And thought become your servant. Thought serve you. Thought listen to you. Meditation is as simple as that. It's like when you play a game. When you become very skillful, what happened? Like badminton. Very easy analogy. Initially, when you are not skillful, the racket and the shuttlecock play you out. Understand? You want to serve, sometimes you hit, you even miss the shuttlecock. Then sometimes you want to serve low, you hit the net. Sometimes you want to serve high, you got not enough strength. Because you have not trained, you are not skillful. But the moment you have trained and become skillful, what happened? You decide, isn't it? You want to send the shuttlecock low, it will go low. You want to send it baseline, it will go baseline. You want to smash, you smash. You can do whatever you want with it. That is after you have mastered the skill, after you have trained yourself very well. So meditation, in a way, is quite similar. When you have trained, the mind listens to you. The other analogy that I always give is the dog. How do you train the dog? Monkey, very difficult to train. Dog, easy. Well, dog don't have much thinking on. Because dog don't understand our language, correct or not? So initially when you have the dog, you know what happened. You ask him to sit, he look at you. Then after that, you say some more, he bark at you. Then he run away. Then next time, if you are more wise, you learn from people, they will tell you. When you say sit, show it to the dog that you squat down, sit. Then you repeat, sit, the dog squat down. You say very good, you feed the dog. Wow, he wag the tail. He know, if I listen to my master, my owner, I will be taken care of. He is happy, I'm happy. Not I help you, you help me. No such thing. It's I understand, this is what my master wants. Then you take the stick, you throw. Go, ask him to take. He sure don't want to go on initially. But you show the bone. You throw, he go and take. But he don't return to you, he eat. So, then the next time, you make sure that the stick you throw, he cannot eat on. Then you throw, ask him to bring back. Bring back, then you show your hand like that. Then he will bring it back. And then you say, good, feed. Then the dog start to understand, if I don't resist my instructor or the owner, then there is harmony. Then I'm happy, he is happy, I get fed. Then I have the good life. Your thought and the meditative mind is the same. The thought will finally come to understand. The master who has the wisdom will know how to use thought. Then when he uses me correctly, then the good life, the happy life, the whole form and mind become beautiful. But when the thought doesn't listen to the owner, it gets into big trouble. There's a meditation like this morning, I told you, Chan, you have to have the awareness and tell the thought, now I decide, not you. Otherwise, you will be sucked into by the thought. You are controlled by the thought. Who live life? Your thought live life. The thought decide and you just blindly follow. Because you are so conditioned. You are so predictable. You are so full of habitual tendency. So the thought actually caught hold of you and conditioned you to behave. But thought, before the wisdom connected, is egoic, limited, deluded. That's why it will get you into trouble. That's why you will have fear, anxiety, then you don't know what you are doing. You acted out through habitual tendency, mechanically. So when you understand all this, then you become different. Then you take over from the thought. Just like when I wake up, the bladder wants to dictate me, but I was aware of the tactile, aware. I'm not aware of the thought. I'm aware of the tactile driving the body to move. Yeah, this is the old way. Then I tell the thought, now I decide, not you. If I want to go to toilet, answer nature's call, I will go. But I will do it my way, mindfully, with awareness. That's why I reverse all this. When I'm aware, the thought is not active. The thought has no power over me. That is what meditation is all about. To understand who you are. You are the master inside, no? The user of thought, no? And you allow the servant to turn you around, no? It's like you hire a maid, the maid instruct you, no? Isn't that foolish? Isn't that deluded? Huh? Maid say, Kek Hun, go toilet. You go toilet. Kek Hun, don't go out. Don't go out. Then like Yun Chan, oh, it rain already. Rush out to get your clothes. The thought has been directing you. So it's like your servant telling you to do things. Understand? Huh? Because you act according to memory on the whiteboard. No more already. Yesterday you wrote this. You should act according to understanding and wisdom, following noble eightfold path. Means with right view, not deluded. Then you tell the thought, why hurry me? Rain ready. I still mindfully go out and collect my clothes so that I won't have accident, so that I won't go through all this stress and unnecessary anxiety. Why? I just want to get the clothes back, understand not? Condition like that, things like that, I do it. Then like just now I shared with Yun Chan and my daughter, I say, the funny thing is when you take care of karma, karma take care of you, the weather is very kind to you. So there were many occasions, though. Well, I observed, I saw, then I tested it, and really, it happened. So when it's about to rain, then let's say you got something outside that you want to collect. So for me, the thought cannot push me and make me like hurry, anxious, or whatever, excited. No. I just accept the reality. When I accept, I have peace. Then I will go out with awareness. I don't want to use the word mindfully, with awareness, because it's actually mindful. Yeah. If I need to collect, I collect. If I need to take the thing in, I take the thing in. But the funny thing is, like the weather wait for me. You know. Go out, the rain don't want to start. No. The moment I do the thing, take home already, pow, rain. Then we go restaurant, say, you ask my wife. the moment we reach, weather very good. Sometimes PG also. Then we went in and have our meal. Then all of a sudden, heavy fall. Then I said, never mind, eat. And I said, you guys worry, how to go to the car? No umbrella, nothing. For no reason, you guys worry for what? That moment, you're supposed to enjoy your dinner. And I said, have a good meal. And I said, oh, then relax. And do the thing that you're supposed to do. But you go and worry, You understand, no? Things that hasn't happened, So what we did, then by the time we finish, the rain also stopped. Or very little left. Then, okay. Then sometimes the rain didn't stop. Okay, nature like that, I accept. And then restaurant owner very good. He said, he get the worker, lend you the umbrella, then the worker collect the umbrella from you. That's why trust your nature, trust your karma, act with understanding, wisdom. Do not be a slave to the egoic mind, to the thought. That is what Dhamma is all about. Can follow, huh? Okay, then we continue, huh? Okay, then me. Number three.
Okay, number three. If the five aggregates of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you?
This is a very important question and inquiry. If they are not you, then how come they arise in you? Try to answer, somebody. The five aggregate, the human being, if they is not you, then how come all this feeling, perception, everything still arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Who want to answer? Come. Nobody wants to answer. You expect my answer. I say, my daughter will answer.
Because the consciousness is trapped inside this body.
Physical body, yeah. And we have the senses. That's why it's a nature's law, understand not? Upon contact, consciousness arise. Whereas the Buddha say, they are impermanent. Why? Because it's dependent, originating. Condition arising. So your consciousness trapped inside is the only way to let you experience karma, understand not? Then the senses that you have, the five physical plus the brain six, is to trigger off contact arises consciousness, then you input the content. So through your karmic, you create suffering. That is what your form and mind is all about. But you can also free if you know how to meditate, develop the wisdom and connect. Then understand all this. That's why I say, who are you? What are you? If they are not you, how did they arise in you? So my daughter already answered. Because the consciousness is trapped inside. And we have the sense basis. That's why they arise. Like the physics experiment. Upon contact, it triggers all. Okay? Then who are you? You are the awareness. Understand? The awareness that can be aware of all this. Like yesterday, we went through that part that Tammy read, isn't it? Form is of lower intelligence than thought. You know why? Because we use our thought to actually manufacture all this. You understand? The table, the building, all come from what? Come from thought. Human mind. Then energy from other life form that created all the solid form within our universe, the planet, everything. So because form is of lower intelligence, our thought can see form. True or not? This one need to prove or not? No need, isn't it? You can perceive it, isn't it? Because your thought has higher intelligence. You created this, isn't it? Then how did your thought come about? Thought is respond to memory through the awareness. The awareness before the knowing, no thought. But the moment the knowing come, the thought went in through your views, opinion, and condition. So thought is a product of your nature, your awareness. You understand? You can follow that. So if thought is a product of your awareness, that's why your awareness has got higher intelligence. Your awareness can be aware of thought. You understand? Exactly like thought aware of form. That's why form is trapped energy. Thought is released energy. then awareness is a special source. It's not an energy at all, it's a source. From here, everything comes. And this one has the ability to understand things. The direct seeing, the awareness, the pure awareness, the pure nature. So when you know you are this, then don't be deluded by the form am I. Don't go and think that this is you, I, me, I see, I hear, I smell. When you meditate, when you are aware, there is no such thing. It's the form am I that has the perception, the sense basis to allow you to perceive all these things. But there is nobody inside there to see, to hear. It's just the form am I creating illusion for you to see. The five analogy of the five aggregate of mind. Physical body, external form is like foam. Appear very solid, very real. But in actual fact, when condition cease to be, it is like the foam, not what you think. Then perception is like a mirage, an image. Everything you come to perceive, the phenomenal world, the world of consciousness, is just an image, not so real, not what you think. Then the third one is sankhara, all this mental state, mental activity. They may give you a lot of meaning on as well. They give you this idea, that idea, you think here, you think there, then you try to go about solving problem. And you think there is a lot of problem in the world, in life. But in actual fact, it's like the banana stem. Layer by layer, you peel, 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 peel. In the center, at the core of existence, nothing, empty. So all the thinking, what the Buddha is trying to tell you, you can go and think, plan, do whatever you like. But end of the day, empty, nothing, not real. Empty nature existence. They come and go, come and go. So no reality. Then consciousness is like a magician. And you are the greatest magician because you every time arise consciousness. When I say that, you won't believe that. But I can't even create any illusion. How can I be a magician? The magician can, one moment, create a bird, fly out. Understand? Then pull out a handkerchief, become a flower. That one is magic. But I got no magic. Hey, you better magic. You are a great magician. The magician also cannot do what you do. You open your eye, what happened? Yeah? The moment you open your eye, what happened? You created within your seeing consciousness there. All these things that you see there appear already, arise already. That's why you are a great magician. Then with your hearing, you can perceive the sound, the beautiful music, the vibration. Arise already. You can taste the good food. You can smell fragrant and all those things. Of course, the negative also is there. Then your tactile. You can have good feeling, pleasant feeling. When the weather is not so conducive, you know how to put on warm clothing and all those things and make yourself comfortable. There you got tactile consciousness. So all this is like the wonder of nature. So when you understand this, then all this creation, the moment you open your eye, appear. The moment you close your eye, the whole creation is gone. How real are these? It's all in your field of thought, within consciousness. That's why the whole world is the phenomenal world of consciousness, nothing. Consciousness is an image. It's the mind that gives meaning. Then it appears real. But it's an illusion. So when you understand all this, then your mind is free. Then your mind won't be trapped. Then the world of form collapses in front of you. They don't have any more power over you. That's how you can see form. The unreality of form. Because they are dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. And how do you know form? You perceive it through an image in your brain. Then when you understand all this, you can see beyond form. Your form has got no more meaning. It loses its power to deceive you, to delude you, to condition you into suffering. That's how the Dhamma actually transform you, wake you up. Then after that, you move in. When you see beyond form, you see mind. Do the same. Mind, also not real, like the Buddha said. The aggregates of mind, you break it down. Every one of it is impermanent. They come and go, come and go. That's why it's not you. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. If you attach and cling, it brings about suffering. Because they are impermanent, it is anatta, empty, not a permanent unchanging entity. So all this you will see. Then you start to see mind. Your awareness aware of the aggregates of mind. Then you start to see the impermanent nature and unreality of mind. The three universal characteristics. Then only you can see beyond mind. Then you realize mind is for you to use. Mind has no power over you when you understand. Then you return to your true mind. Then your true mind, everyone is the same. True mind is without thought, without words, without concept, without anything. We are the source. We are the oneness nature. We are not apart from each other. That's why all of the whole existence, the oneness nature, we are one from the very beginning. All come from the source. So all this, when you meditate, when you develop the understanding, you will transform. And you will have that understanding. And you will know how to live life. Then you know who you are. What you are. Then the thought cannot control you, cannot command you. Then you decide. Your life, you decide how you want to live. Then through your understanding, you know the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you become beautiful. When you understand life, you know how to live life. Then you will get to experience the great prestige, beauty and wonders of life. Then everything falls into place. That is the beauty of the Dhamma. That is what the teaching is all about. Okay? Clear on? Huh? No sound. No sound means what? Ah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, go back and listen to this. It will help you a lot. Mm. Okay, Tammy, continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutta, Lesson 15. Prajna and Emptiness, page 29 to 33. 2.1, Definition of Terms. Profound Prajna, wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way to become Samma Sambuddha. Superficial Prajna, limited to the understanding of the Four Truths and the 12 links of condition causation as taught at the Theravada level. Form Dharmas, perceptible Dharma at the form level, first of the five aggregates of form and mind. Mind Dharmas, non-perceptible Dharmas, the remaining four aggregates of mind, namely feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness.
Okay, you see the Mahayana, they are able to subdivide the type of wisdom and the type of Dhamma so clearly for you to understand. So from here, you will come to understand what is profound prajna, means the real deep prajna. So this profound prajna are wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way to become Samma Sambuddha. That's why it's called profound prajna. Whereas the other one is normal prajna. But here, they use the word superficial. You use this word, Theravada don't like. You understand? Huh? You think you so special. Yours profound prajna, my superficial. Superficial means on the surface. Then they say, the Buddha also arahan, no? I also arahan. No? So, why you say my superficial? But you look at how the Buddha becomes Samma Sambuddha. He has the 10 perfection, no? You are nowhere near it. No? That's why I rather use the word normal prajna. Anasana. I don't want to use the word superficial prajna. But Mahayana use superficial prajna. Then he divide Dhamma into two. Form Dhamma, like I explained to you just now. Learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then see beyond form. So form Dhamma are perceptible form. within the five aggregates of form and mind, the first aggregate. So this perceptible Dhamma are form Dhamma. So to me, form is more gross, easier to perceive, understand? It's solid, understand? Whereas mind Dhamma is consciousness, image, sensation, and all those things. It's non-tangible. That's why mind Dhamma is non-perceptible Dhamma, less perceptible, where they are not solid. So it's not so easy to see. That's why when you cannot see form, you cannot see mind. Obvious. So during the six patria time, there were two monks arguing about the flag and the wind. One say the flag move. The other monk thought he more smart. He used science. No, wind. The wind move. Without wind, the flag cannot move. So if you go by logic, you use your thought, what is going to happen? You are going to argue then. Yeah? Then the question is, who is right, who is wrong? Both also right according to them. Right according to them. But the answer that Hui Ling gave, you know what he tell them? He don't want to tell them whether they are right or wrong. He said, your mind move. Profound or not? Yeah? Because you use a mundane mind to perceive. You perceive the flag, you say the flag move. Well, that is the reality to you. Then the other fellow can feel the wind, or more smart, or more intellect, because he knows science. 无风不起浪, he also knows, isn't it? So, no wind, no movement of flag. Then he say, the wind move. But the reality is, the one that perceives the wind also uses the mind, understand or not? So Hui Ling knew they are trapped in form Dhamma. You understand? Form Dhamma also they cannot see. How can you teach them anything deeper than that? So the next stage is what? Mind. That's why he said, your mind move. Give them a Gong An, an inquiry to find out. And then they were traced back to mind. But later on, after the six patria passed away, some of the monks were discussing, why did Hui Ning, our teacher, say the mind move? Because according to his poem, that Tear of Shen Xiu's poem, he already realized a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind, the true nature. 本来无一物，何处惹尘埃? Originally there was nothing, the empty nature, the true mind, the true nature. Where can the dust alight? Then why did he tell them your mind move? So they can't understand. The real answer is, if they cannot see form, they are trapped in form, means they can't even see beyond form Dhamma. Then how can you go beyond form and beyond mind? That's why you have to teach them to see the next one. Give them a hint, your mind move. Then according to the Zen story, it continues. When the monk were discussing this thing, there is a lady who helped out in the temple, prepare food for them. Some of the monks already very curious. Every day, there is a different food served. And that food that is served, got one of the monks, he liked that food, that day that food will be served. Then the next day he liked another food, the food will be served. So this monk, the senior monk, already curious, already knew there must be something, otherwise it cannot be like that. So actually it was this lady, he is actually already enlightened. She is a bodhisattva. That's why she can read their mind, and he know what they want, and he will cook accordingly. Then when she passed by hearing them discuss all this, why did Hui Ning say the mind move? You know what the lady told them? Where got mind? Right on the whiteboard. Where got mind? First, 慧宁，懂了吗？The 2 months. Your mind move. Then later on, when the disciple later on discuss, why did Hui Ning say your mind move? Because he has gone beyond mind. Then the old lady, she just say, where God mind? He just say this, you know what happened? All the monks become enlightened. So now I tell you, where God mind? Because they straight away knew from Dhamma, mind Dhamma, where God mind means you use your nature to see the direct seeing where God mind. Understand? Then they realize the true nature which is beyond mind. Yeah, where God mind? Well, mind is still trapped at the mind Dhamma. Understand? Not? So this one is trapped, the flag in the wind. So this one, the flag and the wind. This one is trapped under form Dhamma. Because form has so much meaning to them. That's why they are argue. They can argue until the cow come home. Still no conclusion. Understand? That's why when you are trapped in form Dhamma, you cannot go beyond to understand the mind Dhamma. So Hui Ning give them a hint. He said, your mind move. So this is mind Dhamma. Then the lady knew this monk cannot understand. He wants to bring them beyond mind. So, through her wisdom, she just tell them, where God mind? Then they straight away realize that mind is the mundane mind. It's not them. Then they realize their true mind, their true nature. That's why they awaken. That's why you can see beyond form Dhamma and beyond mind Dhamma. When you can see beyond form, beyond mind, you realize the truth. Truth is beyond form and mind. True Dhamma or truth is beyond form and mind Dhamma. Is it clear now? Huh? So this is the true Dhamma, which is the truth. And truth is beyond form and mind Dhamma. That's the reason why in my 5 aggregate form and mind book, and this heart and the mind, I always talk about seeing beyond form, beyond mind, to realize your true nature. To realize the truth, to realize true Dhamma, you must see beyond form and mind. Dhamma. Okay? So this is, I hope, clear to you. Any question? Anybody have any question? Yeah. Oh, yeah, can. Yeah, you draw. Yeah.
I try to see what I understand. You got this, you got ear, you got
use
nose,
words.
You got mouth. And then, reflection. Yeah, okay. So, let's say, am I missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, one more. Ah, hand. The hand.
Use the word
easier. Oh. Okay. I need to draw some more. So, let's say this is the brain, the eye, the nose. Oh. Okay. Then, flag. The flag like this. Then after that, we learn flag and we learn wind. Then we learn the concept movement. All this is inside here. This is our simulator, our mini world, how we know the world. This is not the real thing, but our simulated, rendered 3D inside here.
Yeah.
This is how we know the world.
This is how IT people see.
Then, all these little words that form, to be able to make this, to know this, we have to learn flight, learn movement, learn wind. It's like we learn A, apple, B, ball. We learn betrayal, we learn trust, we learn lies. All through learning like that. Mm.
That's why that one becomes knowledge.
So this one is the one that move. This one wants to move differently from this. This one maybe stop moving already. This one can still move one. This one is moving. This one will keep moving.
Yeah. It depends on the individual. That's why it's all conditioned. People different see differently. Because you use knowledge to see. So you cannot see truth.
So if I try to extrapolate from here, if it was not flat. Yeah. If we were to see something that perceived as negative to us, what's a good example? Let's do something simple. We learn apple, right? Then here, we learn apple, and then we know every day. Let's say my mom gave me one apple a day. One day my brother come and eat my apple. Then I learn brother. Eat. Huh? then this one start to learn from other people. Hey, he took something that was yours. Someone, they tell me, now apple is mine. He took something that was mine. So we learn this way. And then the next time we see the apple, I see my brother, I don't care what his reason already, I keep.
But that's why the anger, the dislike, the misunderstanding start.
Cannot see what is really happening.
Yeah.
So there's something here that will tell me, see, my brother's apple eaten by the dog. He don't have any more apple. This one can feel. This one never see so far, you know. The eye probably see he was sad. But if I let this one see, straight away
I keep the apple. But when I see properly, there's a reason. Even if I don't see that he's sad, he come to me, I ask him first, why you want to take my apple? I ask nicely first. I don't jump to conclusion, he just want to eat my apple, he greedy. So I ask nicely already, then he tell me, actually, dog ate my apple, I got no more apple today. Then this one will tell me, hey, forget about all this. We share lah. So it's like reprogram as and when I go and live my life. Cannot assume. Assumption is where this one autopilot and live our life for us. This one has all the preconceived assumption.
No, we see the world differently. Like Jing Yap said, you perceive the world the way you perceive it through your views, opinion, conditioning, and knowledge. So to you, the world is like that. But to another person, different training, different background, they perceive it differently. That's why the world of form has power over you. And you are trapped in form. That's why all this become like a lot of meaning to you. But she is trying to make it easier for you to understand using the senses, the IT approach, the programming and all those things. Sadhu, very good. So this is some of the skillful means that you can actually simplify the understanding of who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being. So when she do this, this is the part that you all never go in. Because she is trying to describe for you how this preconceived brain, which is full of assumption, this one don't have wisdom. This one is so conditioned. This is like memory that you are trapped in. Then your views, your opinion, you don't have open mind. But when you have open mind, means you want to understand. You want to investigate. Then you use awareness to investigate. You cannot use thought. If you use thought, you create more of this. You create more of this. So you should develop the right view, right understanding through an awareness of thing. That's why you have to go beyond form, beyond mind. When you go beyond form, beyond mind, you see the truth, the reality. Then with that understanding, it becomes wisdom. You know how to use the brain. Then all this preconceived, full of assumption, conditioning, they have no more power over you. Do you understand? You see, acting according to memory is not acting at all. But we are a human being, no? This memory is inside there, no? But you don't act from there. Then where do you act? You act from your conscience, your heart, your understanding, your wisdom. That's how you act. So when you act from here, your brain is still useful. You know why or not? Because these are memory. But this brain, you are supposed to store what? Not the psychological memory of fear, phobia. Those are very negative psychological memory. You store them, it creates wrong thought. It will cause you suffering, affliction, misery. So what are you supposed to use the brain for? This top part that my daughter say on. You go to the bank when you want to withdraw money. You need to remember your account number. Yeah? You need to remember how you sign. Yeah? Then you go home, you need to remember where you stay. Yeah? These are the memory that is useful and they don't create fear. Understand or not? So these are normal memory, day-to-day memory that you need to use. Like you want to study engineering, study science, you need to use this type of memory. We call it mechanical memory, for mechanical thing, for day-to-day thing. But for psychological thing, why you go and hold on to it? Like your phobia. Your whatever scars of memory, all those things. But memory is memory. Because you experience it, you can recall it. Understand? So this type of memory, which is psychological memory, you have to act like a computer. What is a computer? They got two type of memory there. What are the two? Yeah? One is RAM. The other one is ROM. What is RAM and what is ROM? So RAM is random access memory. Oh, sorry. Random, huh? Random access memory. Correct, huh? Random access memory. So, ROM is read-only memory. The read-only memory is for you to read and write program. Whereas the random access is, when I need it, I access it. You understand? Huh? That's why the computer no emotion on. You understand? Huh? They need only they take. They don't need, they leave it inside the memory bank. That's why they can process things very fast. Because they are non-emotional. Understand? Huh? So, if you as a human being, yeah, if let's say these are your psychological memory, how to spell? PSY, yeah? Memory. So this one, you must treat it like a RAM. You must treat it like a RAM. When you need it, access it. Because sometimes you need to share with people, understand? Yeah, last time when I was young, I went through this. People did this to me. Then I got this deep fear. Scars of memory, phobia, everything trapped inside. Before I know the Dhamma, it keep on coming and haunt me. Through my dream, through my nightmare. Then every time when I see something, when there is condition for me to recall, or I met that person who did that to me, that intense fear arises. So you see, the form of mind suffer because of psychological memory. Then when it arrives, without wisdom, you cannot free, you cannot liberate your mind. So what is wisdom? To understand that these are all thought-based. My state, impermanent, empty, not real, form and mind, no reality, empty nature. So when you have that type of wisdom, you have true Dhamma understanding. You understand the truth. Then all this memory come out, cannot disturb you anymore. Because you know the thought is for you to use. Your brain, your whole physical body and mind is for you to use. So use it. It's not you. Then why you arise all this fear, scars of memory, psychological memory? It's because you believe through security that there is you which is hurt. If it's not you, if it's due to law of karma with right view, you know last time this form of mind must have done something to other form of mind. Now karma come, the fruition, I become the victim. So it's fair. No need to fear, no need to worry, no need to have any remorse or whatever. Then you leave. Then you want to teach people, you want to share your experience, recall. But you don't hold on to it and worry whole day. You understand? Huh? Especially the health problem. Your health problem is not something you can forget very easily. You know? Every moment haunting you. You know? Then if you feel not good or becoming worse, more pain and all those things, then the fear intensifies. Understand? Then you believe this is you. You worry about it getting sick, getting old, and die. The worst thing is you fear the pain, you fear the death, and you fear your pocket big hole. Understand or not? You go and see specialists and all those things. So this is what is happening in the human brain.
As you were saying that, I thought of something because this makes up who we define ourselves to be. So if your eye has certain sickness, cannot see already. If you got paralyzed, if you're paralyzed, all this cannot use already. Got dementia, this one also gone already. Then who are you? What's left to define you? That's why I start to wonder, who am I? What am I? When all these are gone, all these have failed.
but something's still breathing, then that's why I start to inquire, what is inside here? What is making use of all this? And if this one cannot rule the rest, this one is the maid trying to tell the master how to live life. This is the dog that not listening to the owner. See the bone run already. See the apple run already. This one will tell the dog to come back and try to explain nicely. Then this one can live life properly.
Very good. That's why you have to come back to your nature, your true mind, which is where the heart is, where the conscience is. So this blue book, afterwards, if we have time, we will read through. Then you will understand how you function as a human being. The conscience is very important. Okay? So far, clear? If you're not clear, go back, reflect, contemplate, listen to this recording again. Okay. Oh, we have to stop for your meditation already. Okay, 9:30 to 10:30, your meditation. Okay, let us stop. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, at least we finish page 57. Then after the meditation, we will come back and continue. Okay, we can off the light. Thank you.